I'm excited to share a little bit of what I've seen over the last several years and more recently this year. It's been amazing to watch. Of course, a lot of changes happened in the Eastern Bloc countries over that time, and every time I go back, particularly there was a large gap between my visit in 2002 and then mine in 2011, and it's, for me, I saw great progress. I was impacted by the impression of the people living in the country that they were not expressing that same excitement over what was going on, and after some time there, I can see it's very slow, and I think it's very hard for parents, particularly, who our children grow up quickly, but the processes and society changes slowly, and that was discouraging for them. Thank you, Samantha. So, and again, I have no relationships financially to disclose. Right now, currently, of all ages, persons with disabilities, there are 2.5 million people in Ukraine living with disability, and I think I saw a figure somewhere that encompasses close to even 5% of the population. Officially, Ukraine is one of the countries that agrees and has signed the convention. They officially comply, but unofficially, the experience is very greatly, particularly across the country. It's a large country. It's actually the largest landmass in Europe, and between rural and urban areas, there are great differences that I'll discuss in just a minute. When integration and accessibility is concerned, really that's an area that is lagging behind in their compliance. Little to no integration in the education system. And it would depend, of course, when we talk about disabilities, there's such a wide variety of disabilities. So some children would have access to the public education system where they could go to school. Others, specifically if they have a physical disability or developmental disability, their access is limited in large part because the buildings are not yet all accessible. So I will discuss more about education in just a little bit, but public transportation does not accommodate yet. And it's one of those societies where owning a vehicle is still a luxury. Most, even women, many don't drive yet, and those are the predominant caregivers are women. Ukraine's harsh climate does play a huge factor. From this time of year through March, you can have snow on the ground. They do not plow the sidewalks. Obviously, if you have ramps, that's wonderful, but if they are not shoveled, people cannot use them. And I already mentioned there's a huge chasm between Kiev, the capital, and urban areas, even in things such as lighting. I was amazed my most recent visit. I was happy to see night lights on the streets of Zhytomyr. That was something we did not see until 2 years ago, they said. So obviously, if you have a disability, there may be even extra need for lighted sidewalks at night. And when it gets dark, you know, early because of their climate, very early in the wintertime, it makes accessibility just a real issue. I love this photograph. This is from the Romani Boys Orphanage. It's in a very small village, and this is how they greet the social workers when they come to do their programs weekly. But this gentleman, I'm very excited, but I love it because it kind of shows that there's an open door officially, but unofficially, I think people with disabilities are very much behind a closed door still. It's just like the imagery there. Poverty is a huge issue for children with disabilities in Ukraine. They are largely homebound. Until 5 years ago, kids who physically could not walk would not even leave the apartment, maybe rarely for their medical visits, and that would be it. That is improving as Western Aid has brought wheelchairs and equipment for them to be able to get around. But and then with developmental disabilities as well, they don't often leave the home. Because of that, the primary caregiver is often and usually unable to work. And that primary caregiver usually would be the mother. Sometimes that is grandparents. But 80 to 90%, according to Mission to Ukraine, what they're seeing in the Zhytomyr region are single mothers. And that would be largely because often the father does leave when a child with disabilities is born. They are. I've even spoken with mothers personally who have been given a choice and said, well, we can yield the child to the orphanage and I stay, or you keep the child at home and I go. And that's obviously just a crushing decision that unfortunately has to be made still today. Government assistance, they do provide utilities, a modest food allowance, and basic health care. And I'll discuss the health care again, but that what basic health care applies to a person without disabilities is very different for a person with disabilities, but they do not really distinguish between the basic needs of people, so that there are some gaps. And unaddressed issue, I'm hearing a lot now about suicide and depression among even caregivers or persons with and or persons with disabilities. And culturally, depression is not a topic that was open to discussion at all in Soviet times, and that sentiment still lingers today. It is just not discussed, and that there are obvious needs and issues that need to be discussed there and addressed for the caregivers so that the children can have a healthy home environment. Orphanages and institutionalization, it still is a huge need and area in Ukraine. Unfortunately, it is something that doesn't comply with the UN Convention on Rights, but they have several factors that lead to institutionalization, and a huge one, primary, would be substance abuse of the parents. It's a huge issue in Ukraine, and children without disabilities even have trouble, but let alone when there's the added need of disabilities, it just becomes impossible for parents to care for their kids. The poverty, factors I already discussed about poverty, a mother who can't work will yield her child to an orphanage if she must, because there just really are no other options or choices for her. Lack of sufficient support. If there is not education available to a child, some parents will yield their children to an orphanage in the hopes that they may get some basic education. So, orphans with disabilities. I'm going to discuss just a little bit about orphanage institutions, because you may not be aware. There are technically four different levels. Level one and level two would be children who are typically developing. They have a school. It's like a boarding school, basically, state-funded and run boarding school. They would stay there year-round. They may or may not have parents living who may or may not visit them, or they may go on holiday to visit them. That falls under the Ministry of Education in Ukraine. Level three and level four orphanages do not, and that would be for children with disabilities. There's a wide range. They don't distinguish between physical, developmental, both. So, and they also do not fall under the Ministry of Education. So these children do not receive education. They are institutionalized, and they are provided and given their basic care needs, but no education. So a child born with who is blind but is unable to function will be in a level, but say they can walk, for example, they can be in a level three facility, but they may live their whole life and not receive any education at all in that facility. They will also be put together with a child with Down syndrome who has very different needs, obviously, and developmentally is in a very different place. I have seen in the level four institutions children who may be developmentally very on target, but severely physically disabled, and they would be then bedridden completely, no education, and up till now they do not get out. And generally, these facilities are in very rural areas. They're not easy to find, even for the Ukrainian people. So the Mission to Ukraine recently came across the Romaniv orphanage. I'll show you some more photos in just a minute. But the young man looking out the window, they didn't even know it existed until 3 years ago. So it's open doors. Officially, there's no secrecy. We have been given very easy access. I don't feel like there's been any stonewalling. The directors are very welcoming of Western aid and Westerners, but you have to find them. Those are not sites that are published and easy to find. Up to 10% mortality rate in some of those units, which is incredibly high, obviously, from things like hypothermia, cold, basic care needs that are just not able to be met. The staff would be typically regionally from that little village wherever the orphanage is located, and they are just not equipped to train, educate, and teach children with disabilities. So you have very basic care. And the conditions are very subject to the local director. Some directors are passionate about what they do. They have good connections in Kiev, and they're able to accomplish quite a lot. Others, not so much. And so the care varies widely across Ukraine, region to region. And generally, they keep people regional, so your child would not go to someplace, you know, another city several regions over, they would go to whatever facility is right there, and whatever they are capable of doing is what they get. Oh, I didn't discuss age limits. By law, with disabilities in these level 3 and 4 facilities, children can stay up until age 30 by maximum, generally even age 20. But they do allow longer in a level 1 and 2 orphanage, which is more the boarding school concept. By 16, the children are out, and they can go to technical school or college if they're admitted, or they're free to go. Where, fortunately, children with disabilities are kept longer. And that's a good thing, because these facilities give better care than what you will see in the mental health institutions or the nursing homes. And that would be the next stage. Pretty much here it's institutionalization for life. Once a child is in the system, unless they are adopted out, they will stay in the system. So it's generally a very good thing when they can stay longer. This is the dining hall. So the kids who are in the level 3 unit who can walk, basically, would go to here to eat. And this is about March, mid-March. And just showing, it's a kind of a self-sustaining place. They grow their own vegetables and fruits. A lot of what they eat is grown locally right there. And this would be one of the bedrooms. There are about 90 children in this Roman Eve orphanage, so several rooms like this. And in orphanages where children do not have disabilities, they do a lot of their own caretaking, but here the beds are made for them. A lot of that basic care they're not taught to do. Mission to Ukraine now has helped. This woman here is the first teacher on site in this orphanage. She arrived a few years ago with very little assistance. There is a full-time medical doctor on staff here, so they do get medical care appropriate and adequate. They don't get beyond basic, but they do get adequate medical care to survive. But she has come. This is a locked room. Well, she'll take several boys at one time. And they've begun to do some basic therapy programs with them. And they just love this time. Mission to Ukraine is an organization goes in weekly to assist her with what she might need. But she tries to do the programs every day. But with 90 boys, it's obviously a handful. And not all of them are to the point yet where they are classroom ready and capable of this. There really isn't any one-on-one care. It's just not something that they have the capacity for right now. In Ukraine, when it comes to children with disabilities, the non-governmental organizations have had a huge impact, and they are so critical right now when it comes to things like dental care. That's not really considered to be a basic need. So children with disabilities have very poor dental health, and parents often cannot afford the extra to pay for it themselves. So the non-governmental organizations, like the Mission to Ukraine Clinic that has a full-time dentist on staff, will see children and treat them for free of cost. Medical care also. A child with Down syndrome, for example, they have very small earways. They may not hear as well because of that, and often here in the United States we would put ear tubes in. That's not part of basic care. So a child with Down syndrome may be hard of hearing or even technically deaf because they just aren't getting that very simple treatment done. And you can see, obviously, that compounds in their functionality and how they're able to function in life. If they can't hear, then they don't learn to speak properly. So the level at which they function is much lower than what they would had they had preventative care. We've already addressed education. Parents have a hard time finding teachers in home, although they are supposed to be provided with them. The teachers are not trained. Even parents who keep their kids at home, they're getting a difficult time. And parent support groups. I talked with several of them, and it's very interesting. The sentiment still lingers. Again, I mentioned that Soviet mindset, but the idea of advocacy is a new one to them. And so they really need assistance in understanding that their rights, that they have rights as parents, what they are and what they can do for their children to see that their needs are met. They also have a pretty fatalistic outlook on things, so they really need assistance seeing your children can do so much. They haven't seen that before, so they just need to be shown that they're given basic early intervention. There are things that can be done. So here's a physician on staff with the center at Mission to Ukraine seeing a little boy. And they have physical therapists now on staff there. There are only a few, a handful, I think five universities in the entire country that have a physical therapy program. So early intervention is a very new concept. But as we know from our work here in the United States, early intervention can really, really change the outlook and for a person with disabilities and their future functioning. This woman is teaching English to some young adults with disabilities. And learning English with the internet now, it opens the world to them. The barriers, I've already discussed many of these. A lack of early intervention, coordination between government ministries. The civic mindset is still very negative. There's a lot of fear-based discrimination towards people with disabilities. And lack of visibility. Because children with disabilities aren't out in public and they're not seen, they are not seen as normal when they are out in public. And that's a huge thing that we need to do to move forward. I'm going to speed up a little bit here, but changing the civic mindset, in my opinion, is the most important thing. Economic factors are huge, and those are going to be slow to change in Ukraine and in developing countries. I feel personally we have very little I can do to change that, but I can help with the civic mindset. And accessibility for the people. We need to get the children from the orphanages out in public to see that that they exist, for one, that they can function, that they can contribute to society. It is a huge benefit and value to all citizens to see that, and the value of life and all different forms that we come in. So reworking its approach to the orphanages. This is a trip, the Romaniv boys, they took 12 boys from the Romaniv orphanage. They had never left the buildings and the property there. They took them on a 3-hour bus ride to Ukraine to the zoo, and they ate at McDonald's. And they had a one-on-one ratio going, and they reported that they were amazed at the behavior of these boys. I saw the behavior of the boys in the orphanage, and I would have loved to have gone to the zoo with them. They said that the behavior improved greatly, that they behaved more appropriately socially, that they it was wonderful for the other people and families at the zoo to see the kids, that they were very positive about it. And it's that sort of interaction I think we just need to really focus on that can continue to begin to change society kind of from the outside in. And here's a picture of one of the boys who went to the zoo and the volunteer who took him. And I just love this photograph because to me they look the same. And I think that's what our goal is really that we are all people coming in different shapes and forms. And the more that the Ukrainian people can see this sort of a picture, the better the society can become for those living with disabilities there. So, thank you so much.